Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, depending, I guess, on where you live. Thanks for joining us here on American Family Radio. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube if you'd like to. Just type in Today's Issues on YouTube or Facebook, and you can go there also and comment on the program or access the stories that we're talking about. Ed Vitagliano with me. Steve Jordahl joins us. Good news to report, Steve?
Yeah, I just was talking with our colleague Chris Woodward. He has been following the story about this Virginia bill that we were talking about at the end of the hour last time, this awful, horrendous pro-abortion bill.
Like New York's.
Right. The Virginia Family Institute is a family foundation, I should say, is led by a woman named Victoria Cobb, who I've known and worked with in context of her work there for years, and she's very good. And what she is reporting to Chris, and what Chris passed on to me to pass on to all y'all, is that both the House version and the Senate version, or the House and Senate version in Virginia of this bill has been killed for the year. They defeated the bill.
Good.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
They will. She says they'll bring it back next year, but so far for the moment, and this is her quote, that is done, but we want to make sure that people are vigilant. So that is good news. The soundbite that you guys played from Kathy Tran was just horrific, and it just shows. I'll add my two cents for what it's worth to what you guys have already said. The depravity to which this nation has sunk.
Part of the nation. Part of the nation.
The fact that but I don't know what if God weighs blessing and cursing on a balance. If there's 10 righteous, would you spare us? If there's 5 righteous. I don't know, but it's feeling like that.
The only reason I'm flipping now. I was going dark last segment, and then Tim reminded us that there are states that are not like New York that are protecting life. There are people. You're talking about this woman here. What was her name? Virginia Cobb.
Virginia Cobb.
The people working to uphold righteousness.
Victoria Cobb. Sorry,
Victoria. And so that's all I'm saying is now I'm going to lecture other people on being more upbeat and positive about.
So we all love a good lecture, Ed.
No, it is a good reminder that God is still on the throne and people should continue to fight because we are saving lives like we did several weeks ago with those getting our listeners to get involved and pay for the sonograms.
Yeah.
Ultrasounds.
You know, we need to keep in mind the evil versus good is eternal, right? Well, until Christ comes back and rules the earth, and
so we'll be battling this until then.
Something. Yeah.
Right.
There's always got to be something where you're battling evil. So that's the reason we need ministries like AFA to stand for good and for righteousness and for what the Bible declares. And we will continue to do that until the Lord brings this to a close, this being the ministry, or he comes back. So, but until then, whatever that comes first, then we will continue to advocate, champion for what the Bible says about what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible says that human life, including the unborn, is sacred and should be, we should fight for life, as it were, and we'll continue to do so. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, I want to ask you, I want to jump to a different story here for just a minute. By the way, so that's good news out of Virginia.
Yes.
That this horrendous bill that was like the New York bill has been defeated.
For the year.
And I'm assuming the Virginia legislature only meets once a year.
Right. They will have to wait till the next
to bring
session
it up again,
To bring it up again.
I just don't think that's going to pass in Virginia.
Well, when you have an admission like Kathy Tran made that
yeah,
even as a woman is yeah, giving birth in labor,
dilating,
that you can go ahead yeah, and kill the baby. It's,
yeah, most Americans don't agree with that. There's this, maybe people haven't seen this story. Maybe you have. There's this actor.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Jussie Smollett. He is on a show called Empire.
Right.
Which is very popular.
I haven't watched it, but yeah.
I've never seen it. I don't watch it either.
I've seen commercials for it.
But it's a show called Empire. Is it on a network? Or is it on?
Because it's CBS, I think.
Or Fox? Maybe?
Fox. Fox.
It's on Fox.
It's on Fox, sorry.
Anyway, this is one of the actors who's on that show. And as I said, it's a very popular program. And he is a black man who's a gay man,
mm-hmm,
right? And he supposedly was attacked last night, was it, or two nights ago?
I believe it was okay, last night. It was recently.
He was in.
We're learning about it today.
Okay, there's a reason I'm bringing this up. This man is a homosexual and openly.
Yeah, we're not outing him.
He's an activist, and he's very much hates President Trump by his tweets and so forth and so on. Well, he says that he was attacked at 2 o'clock in the morning in Chicago a couple nights ago.
Monday night, late Monday night.
Monday night. He was out getting a Subway sandwich.
Right.
And he was attacked by two men, I guess, who had ski masks on.
He says they were both white.
They were both white, and they attacked him, and they said, "Hey, aren't you the N-word guy from, I guess, when he went back out on the street at 20 degrees below?"
And also used a pejorative
right,
for his, because and, of his homosexuality.
And so they roughed him up. I don't know exactly what all they did, but they roughed him up.
I think they broke his ribs.
Okay, they broke his ribs.
Fractured a rib.
This is his story.
Yes.
This is the actor's story of what happened. These two men who were, I guess, waiting for him. This is the way it's you get the picture. This wasn't a random assault. They were after him because he was gay and because he was black, I guess.
That's what he is asserting.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
When he gave a police statement.
Because these two men, according
to ski masks on and
said used a pejorative for homosexual and for black. So he says they were targeting right, me for those two reasons.
And they put a noose around his neck.
Yes.
Right? This is what he says. And they also said this is
MAGA country.
This is MAGA country. Of course,
right,
we all know Chicago.
Which, of course, Chicago is right in the heart of MAGA country,
right,
isn't
right,
it?
Right now.
Make America great again, Trump's campaign
now that,
slogan.
That was put out, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because people from all over the country, these Nancy Pelosi even tweeted out, this homophobic, racist attack cannot be allowed.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people are jumping on this as a fact that it was a homophobic, racist attack. And it may have been. Who knows? We don't know all the facts yet.
We're still
learning. But when I read this, I was going, this sounds like one of those made-up stories where they try to make somebody look bad. I'm not saying it was or wasn't. The police are investigating. But when things sound suspicious, Steve, when I'm going, first of all, what are you doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning making a Subway run when the police say don't get out on the street because it's life-threatening?
Okay. It wasn't quite on Monday night yet.
Okay, well, all right, yeah. then my apologies there on that one. But, okay, you're saying it wasn't that cold yet.
It was cold. It wasn't life-threatening cold. That happened today.
Well, and now the Chicago Police Department, they are saying they are checking the story because initially when he talked to police, Smollett, what's his first name again?
Jussie.
Did not mention the, hey, this is MAGA country.
Probably slipped his mind.
Might have slipped his mind. He said they were both white, but they were wearing ski masks and gloves.
Right.
So now they're saying, well, how did you know that they were white? Because it's in a darkened area and they were covered. And then why didn't you mention they said, this is MAGA country. So there are some contradictions. The police are saying there are some contradictions. Now, that doesn't mean that he's lying, we should say. that maybe he's confused or whatever, but it does seem awfully perfect that in Chicago you have a couple of guys running around beating people up because this is MAGA country.
Yeah, and the same thought crossed my mind. I saw several people on my Twitter feed saying, you know, how these guys walking around with a noose and ski masks just hoping to run into somebody that's gay and black, that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
While it's freezing?
They were looking for evidence of this attack on the many, many security cameras and you know that they have around where this is supposed to happen. Haven't found it yet. It doesn't mean it didn't happen again. This is my thought. If the media – and the media is jumping on this, like you said, already calling it, you know, a homophobic attack.
Oh, it is. That's what they're saying.
So if they didn't learn from the BuzzFeed takedown of who was it that the BuzzFeed just ran a story that was debunked and everybody – it was on the Trump-Russia scandal.
Yeah.
And if they didn't learn from the Covington Catholic kids about jumping on a story right now and asserting its fact before you know, then they're not going to learn from this either. It seems like the media, if this ends up being fake, the media can do this with impunity. Nobody holds them to account. Time and time and time again.
I'm reading this story. This says that when the police showed up 45 minutes after he called in the attack, he still had the noose on the rope around his neck. Why would
the actor we're talking with?
Why would he keep the noose around his neck?
Because he
wanted to show the police. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, no, yeah, I know. It's just suspicious. This whole thing just smells so far. If it's not true, if this is all made up, of course it'll be a one day story, and he'll go on. You know. It's one of those things where you don't want to say absolutely that it didn't happen because you weren't there.
But this thing
sounds like it's one of those made up stories.
Perhaps he did get beat up. Maybe he got mugged, and then maybe he turned it into a thing where he could take a shot at Trump. I don't know, but it is suspicious.
He's a very vile person. If you read his tweets, this man, this actor, he hates President Trump, and he openly uses profanity and obscenities. So his passion against the president runs deep, but I mean, yeah, we've all seen this before, and it happens a lot on the left. I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the right. Sometimes it may. I'm open to examples of that, but it happens a lot on the liberal side, where they do things. And then try to make it look like it was conservatives, or in this case, Trump supporters.
Certainly has happened.
Who did the evil. I remember reading last year about it. It was in the Mississippi Delta. And this some racial slur had been spray painted on the side of a church. Mm-hmm. And it was like supportive of the KKK or something. And as it turns out, it was a black fella who spray painted it, who had an axe to grind with somebody at the church, something like that. I remember the homosexual man in San Antonio a couple years ago. He went in to get a cake that he had bought, and then he took the cake, made no complaint, went out to his car, and then did something to the cake, wrote something on the cake or something.
Yeah, he had a tube of frosting on him just in case he ran into a cake.
He took the cake back in and after he had written a homophobic slur on the cake and complained that somebody at the bakery or the grocery store whoever made the cake was a homophobe and then he called the media.
Yes.
So I'm just saying that this kind of thing does happen where people who are, well, Tawana Brawley and Al Sharpton.
Right.
The Duke lacrosse players.
Right.
How many of these bogus stories
a narrative that they really are anxious to prove.
Right. It was the same way with the young man from the Covington Catholic School.
Exactly.
They wanted it, like Joel Behert said, we want it to be true. We really do. So that it makes President Trump and his supporters look bad. So we wanted this to be true. Of course, it wasn't with the Covington Catholic boys. It wasn't true at all, you know. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, next story.
I've got three stories that go from stupid to ridiculously stupid. And
do we have a scale for that?
Yeah, we do. It is. It's a new scale.
Have you created? Did you create? Like the Richter scale.
This is the Jordahl.
The Jordahl.
Jordahl scale?
Stupidity scale.
Okay.
We're going to start in the U.S. Congress. In the Democrat now controlled House of Representatives, uh-huh. House Committee on Natural Resources, who decided that, and every committee does this at the beginning of the year, they just put new rules or whatever rules they want the committee to operate by. Well, this is the rules that the House Committee on Natural Resources has put in. One of the things they put in is that when they swear someone in, you know how the witness stands, raises his hands, and says, they say, "Do you solemnly swear?" Well, they are taking the words, "so help me God," out of that affirmation. And they are inserting the words under penalty of law. So the affirmation, what you swear, raise your hand to when you get up, is, "Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of law that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" And they also have drafted rules that removed all the phrases where it says his or her, and they changed it to they. So nope. Now our committee in U.S. Congress is going to refer to everybody as they. So when a man gets in front of the committee, apparently the Democrats are not going to call him him, they're going to call him they. And they modified all references to the committee's chairman to now just refer to him as chair. So this is in the U.S. House of Representatives. This isn't some liberal college campus like we've been hearing about.
That's extraordinary. I mean, first of all, the Democratic Party is very swiftly becoming the party that hates God. Okay, and who was it? Somebody tweeted. It'll come to me in a minute. Somebody in the conservative side and said, "Well, they really are the party of Karl Marx now." Because
that was Cheney, Lynn Cheney.
Yes, it was Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney.
Yeah, she said they really are the party of Karl Marx. And then this other nonsense. This is the kind of thing, you know. I think we played it the earlier this week.
It was a city.
Some kind of city council where the person announcing it said, "I know, I had a." English teacher who, you know,
this is going to make her roll over in her grave.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, they and they grave.
Yeah, so they're going to stumble all over themselves to deny the obvious that you're dealing with.
They are
men and women.
Yeah,
it's going to be funny to that part will be funny to watch, except that it's not funny what they're trying to do.
The fact that it's at the federal government, because we keep hearing about it percolating down at colleges. Well, speaking of the second story here, speaking of community, Santa Barbara Community College took a stance recently against the Pledge of Allegiance. They banned the Pledge of Allegiance. They did this because, first of all, the chairman objected to the phrase "One Nation Under God" on First Amendment grounds, and then he said he discovered that the pledge has a history steeped in expressions of nativism and white nationalism, and the fact that Francis Bellamy was a former Baptist minister. So all of those things stacked up, and this committee decided they were no longer going to play or say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of their meetings. Well, Celeste Barber, who's from the community, heard this and was having none of it. She is the daughter of someone who served in the military, and that this pledge was paid for in blood by generations before her. So she decided, when it came her turn to speak, that she was going to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I want you to listen to the reaction that you will hear. This is cut two.
I'm going to recite it now. Because the flag is hidden, I'm holding up a flag. I would ask anyone who would like to stand with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's all right. Point of order, come on. It's ridiculous. What a show.
What a show.
I saw that, and then this woman is a blooming hero. And a courageous woman. She was brought to tears by the reaction she got from those on the city council and from those in the audience. As far as I could tell, not one other person joined her. She actually brought a flag and held it up. And the disdain, this is in California, the disdain for the flag and what she was doing was so clear and obvious. It brought this woman to tears. And this woman's a hero, man. She was so courageous in doing this. And that is the state, at least in that particular setting in California. That is just despicable.
Yeah. All right.
You need to have a separate scale for that. The first one was
stupid.
The Steve Jordahl stupidity scale. Yeah. This is the despicable scale.
Despicability scale.
Yes.
All right. I end my third. This is the ridiculously stupid. It's a man whose name is that I.
It's the purpose of a scale, Steve. You don't have to have ridiculously stupid. You have a stupidity scale, and then it goes from 0 to 10.
Right.
So this would this be? Where's this going to be on the scale?
This would be 10.
10.
So this is a man named Rashad Thomas who is writing, and he was asked to go to a dinner down in a restaurant in downtown Phoenix. He walks in the restaurants looking at the pictures on the wall and comes across a picture which I am going to guess is dated from somewhere in the early 20th century. So 1900, 1910, the way the woman's dressed, it looks Little House on the Prairie-ish. And it's a picture of miners working mines. And they,
so miners, not minors.
Not yet. People who shovel coal.
Right.
Coal miners. And they are in this restaurant, and they are covered head to toe with soot.
Yes.
From the coal mines. This man took offense because he says it looks a lot like blackface. And he's demanding that the restaurant take down the picture. Even though he admits it's a photograph showing coal miners' faces covered in soot. But the context is not the issue. The issue is that I feel deeply wounded, and it just shows how racist we are.
So blackface is offensive because it is white people mocking black people in a comedic setting by putting on makeup.
Real
these
black
are
faces.
Right. These are miners who are covered with soot because of their
hard
job.
Day's work.
This is they have nothing to do with trying to mock anybody.
No. But
so did the restaurant say okay?
No, the restaurant kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, I'll have to ask the other owners, but no, it doesn't look like they're taking it down. But he's saying, how can you, you're racist for not taking this picture.
I'm not sure that's a 10, but it's getting pretty close.
Isn't it?
Yes. I like the stupidity scale.
Yeah.
I like that. We need to keep the Steve Jordahl
stupidity
scale.
We'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right.
So we're gonna have something every day from the
stupidity
scale.
I can't guarantee. Well, there's enough stupid stuff going on, and we probably could.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for a half hour of
encouraging Bible teaching.
Yes, from
Alistair Begg.
Alistair Begg. Straight ahead. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.